Morning. I'm going to give you a little bit of context to what this is all about and what we're doing here at church over the next few weeks and have been over the last couple. So this passage, as you'll have gathered, is about a character called David and Jonathan. But we're focusing on David as a church and have been for the last couple of weeks and will be for the next few. And David was an Old Testament king of Israel, the second king of Israel. And he united the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. And he rose from this status as a shepherd boy in his father's family to become king of Israel. And David had quite an eventful life. And the reason we're looking at him in a series is because in sort of Jewish memory, he's remembered as the ideal king. But what we also know is that he was a flawed human being. And he had great successes. He was appointed king because he was a man after God's heart. But he also had tragic failures, you know. He committed adultery with Bathsheba and then tried to cover up his crime by having her husband killed. So we know that David had these great successes and tragic failures. And we're asking, what can we learn from this man and this man's life? What can God teach us through this man? A few years ago, I went to a youth festival called Soul Survivor that some of you will have heard of, and they decided that they took the step that they've not done before, that they would focus their whole teaching on the area of friendship and relationships. They normally picked a Bible passage or a text from the scriptures or something to unpack with these young people, but they decided that actually something that isn't talked about a lot in church is this area of friendship. And they felt that a whole generation didn't know how to do friendship and relationships. And it was so important to look at it from a biblical perspective. What is God's heart for relationships? And I think that's so true. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. Because in David's life, you know, we're looking at a few different aspects of David's life over the coming weeks and the past weeks. Perhaps more significant than anything we look at, than anything David did as a person, as a king, was this friendship with Jonathan. More significant than anything David did. And I'll tell you why in a moment. But who was Jonathan? Jonathan was Saul's son. Saul was the king at the time that David appeared on the scene, the first king of Israel. And Jonathan was his son. And after David came to national sort of prominence through killing the giant Goliath, the Philistine, he came into the king's service, and that's where he became friends with Jonathan. And it says their spirits were bound together, and Jonathan loved David as he loved himself. And David had lots of relationships. He had at least 7 brothers, at least 8 wives, and lots of children, not to mention his concubines. He had lots of relationships, but more significant than any of those was this with Jonathan. Because this relationship literally saved his life on numerous occasions. Like I said, after killing Goliath, David entered Saul's service as a high-ranking army official, where he excelled. He had lots of military exploits that were incredibly successful. And his reputation went through the roof to the point that at one point, the women of Israel came out onto the streets and they started singing, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands." He was taken center stage and Saul did not like it. So in his jealousy, Saul, the king, said, "Something's got to be done here." And the thing that was to be done was that he was going to take David's life. And this deeply troubled his son, Jonathan, because as we read at the start of that passage, he'd made a covenant with David, a covenant of a relationship. He loved David as he loved himself. And so he set out to protect David, and protect him he did, as we discovered in that passage. So this single friendship, actually, when you think about it, shaped the course of history. This one friendship. David wouldn't have survived to have become king and unite the kingdoms of Israel and Judah if it wasn't for Jonathan. And actually, this friendship touches our lives in a roundabout kind of way, because without it, David wouldn't have survived to leave a family line from which Jesus would eventually be born. Obviously, the reason we're here today. So, this friendship was pretty significant. And there are six main passages that you read about this friendship in the Old Testament. And it shows this friendship that is fearless, a fearless friendship at a time when actually they did mean life or death. You make the wrong alliance when you're part of the royal family or the royal court, and your downfall is pretty much written for you. So your alliances, who you made these covenants and friendships with, was so significant. So what about us? Well, if you're anything like me, and you're probably not, but you might be a little bit, then you probably don't think of any of your friendships having that much significance compared to this one, you know, as David and Jonathan's. As far as I'm aware, kingdoms haven't risen and fallen on the basis of any of my friendships yet. Not even my closest alliances. But that said, and I'm sure many of you will resonate with this, friendships can be life-changing. And in some cases, life-saving, actually. And friendships play a crucial role in the quality of our lives and the state of our mental well-being. And I'm sure any psychologist would say a big fat amen to that. They're so significant in our lives. And at times, I've had friends that have kept me going when I felt completely overwhelmed, even friends in this room. But I don't think that should come as a surprise, really, because that's at the heart of the Christian faith. Last year on Trinity Sunday, we looked at how God inherently is relationship. God is these three persons in one, this trinity of relationships. And in the story of the emergence of mankind, we're told that man wasn't made to be alone. We're made for community, for one another. And, you know, Kara stole one of my verses earlier. That always happens, I should have warned her. But the Bible has lots of wisdom on friendship. Loads of it in Proverbs. If you want to read about friendship, read the book of Proverbs. It's got some great things to say. But Kara read from Ecclesiastes, two are better than one. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the one who falls and has no one to help them up. And on this issue of well-being and friendship, Proverbs 27:9 says, a sweet friendship refreshes the soul. Has anyone had that experience in a friendship that it's just refreshing, it's just good for your soul? I certainly have. And also, Proverbs says that they fundamentally shape our lives. In 27:17 it says, you use steel to sharpen steel, and one friend sharpens another. They shape the course of our lives. When I was a young person, I heard it said, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And I think that's true to a large extent. And friendship is a gift. I like the way the Anglican Church might put it. It's a means of grace through which God shapes our lives. The Anglican Church don't say that, but I could imagine them saying that, okay? Just in case you then go and search for that on Google. But there are challenges, aren't there? And friendship is much more complex and nuanced than a 20-minute sermon can do justice to. I recognize that. And it can be a painful subject for people. You know, Proverbs also says the wounds of a friend can be trusted. They can often, but they can often not as well. And friendship can really hurt when it goes wrong. And sometimes that is the case. So I just want to highlight a few of the challenges that we face, particularly in the day and age we're living in, around this issue of friendship. I think the first one is even finding connection. That can be such a painful issue for people. I know when I moved to Bristol, it took me a long time to make any significant friendships. I'd go to church, a big church, on a Sunday morning. I'd stand there, and my saving grace was my coffee cup, because I could hide behind it. I could stand there like this, looking at my coffee cup and feel safe. Because everyone was in all these friendship groups chatting and chatting and chatting and didn't notice me. And that was a really difficult time. And you can have hundreds of acquaintances, but still feel disconnected and lonely. And I think that can become harder the older you get to make those connections. Time is a big challenge to friendship as we get busier with careers and commitments and family and all these things. And distractions. I think about the things that take my time that didn't used to. All the stuff I have that keeps me connected, but not connected. And then the ease of connection, I think, actually is a real challenge. Because the ease of connection often means for me that the connection is superficial. Oh, I'll send a quick message. I'll send a quick text. But that lacks the depth that real friendship requires. So, I think that it's fair to say that friendship, the kind that the Bible talks about, doesn't happen by accident. It takes time and investment. And we need to know that the gospel, the good news of Jesus, travels, as someone said, along relational lines through friends. It's where forgiveness and mercy and generosity happen and where we care for one another. So that all being said, I want to look at three brief challenges this morning from this friendship of David and Jonathan that was so significant. Three challenges for us. Three things that challenged me as I read these passages this week. And they really did challenge me. I got on Skype to my friends and was like, right, I need to pray for you. What can I pray for? Because I felt so challenged by this. So the fruit of this friendship was far-reaching. But what were the qualities that made this a fearless friendship? And what questions does it ask of us today? I think the first thing that stood out to me from this passage, these passages, were that these two people were deeply committed to each other. In 1 Samuel 18 it said, and Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. And then later on in chapter 20 it says, one of them says to the other, the Lord shall be between me and you and between my descendants and your descendants forever. That's big stuff, isn't it? That's a big statement to make. And we don't live in a culture where we make those sort of commitments to our friends. But it sounds a bit like marriage, doesn't it? A covenant. I'm going to make a covenant with you. We don't kind of do that. But what they recognized was that there was something sacred in that friendship. Something sacred between them. That God, in some way, is in all things and he inhabits even our friendships. It had a holy quality to it. And that challenged me. It challenged my level of commitment to my friends to think about that. Am I really committed to these people that I see as gifts in my life? And if I am, what does that look like? What does that call out of me? And for me, the challenge is to be proactive as well as seeking their best, as well as being reactive. I think back to two of my closest friends, Alex and Amanda, and we became friends when I was at Bible college, and at that time, I had one of those heartbreaking breakups relationship. Sorry, Amy, I don't want to talk about this. You can leave the room if you like. And I was a bit heart sore at this time, and my friends, they'd heard me go on about this hundreds of times, and then I remember one occasion, we were sat in the dining room, and I was just looking sad and blah, 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 and I sort of snuck off. Trying to make a sort of quiet exit, hoping no one noticed. And I got in my car and I was just going to drive around, drive nowhere, bit, moping around a bit. And just as I turned the key, we had these halls of residence and I heard this big crash and this door swung open at the top of the halls of residence. And it was like a cartoon. And these two sort of bumbled through. And they spotted me and they ran down the steps and they just jumped in the car and said, we're coming with you wherever you're going. And they just sat and they listened to me. And I think that told me something about friendship, the reactive element of friendship, that we're there for one another in a crisis or when one another are hurting. But those same friends, they live on the Isle of Man. And I remember one day, maybe a year or so after we'd left Bible college, we'd kept in touch, getting a card through the post with a check for £80 in it. And it just said, this is for your next trip to come and visit us in the Isle of Man. And that told me something else, that they're thinking about me, they're committed to me, that there's a proactive element to this friendship that's more than just reacting in a crisis. It's praying and being there for someone, even when there isn't a crisis. Which reminds me of Jesus' words, love one another as I have loved you. So there's that deep commitment. The second thing that stood out to me from this passage, from all of these passages, and this is a bit churchy language in some ways, so I'll also interpret it, but Jonathan stood in the gap for David. In other words, he represented him when he couldn't represent himself. Chapter 19, which we skipped, is a big passage where David has this, you know, sense that Saul's trying to kill him, and they make this arrangement where Jonathan will find out and help him escape. It happens twice. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses. Jonathan told David, "My father Saul is trying to kill you. I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will speak to my father about you." And it says, Jonathan spoke well of David to his father. Then later on it says, Saul heeded the voice of Jonathan, and Jonathan brought David back to Saul. And that's such a challenge in every age, I think, that Jonathan represented David when he couldn't represent himself. And that is a key part of friendship, isn't it? That we represent one another well when that other person isn't there. That we might stand up for them when others throw stones. And he did this even when it was at risk to himself. Later on it says that Saul, in his anger, picked up a spear and to throw at Jonathan. So Jonathan, in representing David, even put his own life at risk for his friend. I've got another friend. I've got at least three. And I've got a friend called Joey that a couple of people here know. And I used to work with him at Woodlands. And Joey is significantly younger than me. He is someone that, as a friend, I trust more than lots of people. And the reason I trust him is because I have seen him stand in the gap for people so many times. If you try and speak about someone when they're not there in front of Joey, he will shut you down. He will not have any of it. He will not have people being spoken of ill behind their back. And that tells me that I can trust him to do that for me when I'm not there. And there's another element to that. I think when we pray for one another, that is standing in the gap. We represent one another before God. Thankfully, not a God like Saul, who's trying to kill us. We stand in the gap before a loving God who's seeking our best. We team with God for the best of that other person. So the challenge for me from this passage was, who am I standing in the gap for? And how am I representing my friends when they're not there? And fearless friendships are forged when we stand in the gap for one another. And the final challenge, and this is perhaps the most uncomfortable bit, particularly for us fellas. And I came up with lots of different ways that I could phrase this that didn't sound too much like would make a lot of people want to run out of the room. And I landed on they were authentic with each other. But intimate was another word that I thought of. Because you read these passages and these two are close. They are so close. It says at the end that David loved Jonathan more than he enjoyed the love of a woman. This was a real intimate friendship. And friends are easy to take for granted, aren't they? But in 1 Samuel 19, it says, Jonathan took great delight in David. Do you take delight in your friends? Do you take time to stop and enjoy your friends and think about what you appreciate about them? I know I don't enough. It was also a real safe place to be honest. And I think this is so key in friendship as well. Another verse that Kara read said, then David fled from wherever it was. I don't know how to say that word very well. At Ramah, we'll go with that one. And went to Jonathan and asked, and I think he probably said it like this, what have I done? What's my crime? How have I wronged your father that he's trying to kill me? There's this sort of like honesty, this blurts it out, this passion, this fear. And I think friendship that's fearless is a safe place to be totally honest with one another. And Jonathan responded, "Perish the thought, you shall not die." And then perhaps one of the most intimate moments is later on, where David fled again. And it says, David bowed to the ground 3 times, and they kissed each other and wept with each other. It's pretty intimate stuff, isn't it? So at least 3 qualities made this a fearless friendship, a history-shaping friendship, a real commitment to one another, a willingness to stand in the gap for one another, and an intimacy, a shared life together. I don't know whether that makes you feel uncomfortable, but I think love does get under the surface, doesn't it? And cause us to discomfort if we're truly going to make a difference in one another's lives. And in 1 John it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Can we carry each other's burdens, as Paul tells us to in Galatians, if we don't get below the surface to find out what those burdens really are? So my question for you and for me today is, where are you with friendships today? And perhaps they've been difficult for you, and you want to offer this area up to God and say, I'm struggling in this area. I really desire connection, a sacred connection with someone. Perhaps, like me, you might think of friendships that you've neglected that actually are real gifts to you, gifts of grace, and you need to reestablish those friendships in some way. And perhaps there are friendships that you feel challenged that you have now, but to invest in further, to commit yourself to in a new way. Or perhaps you need to get real with friends. Perhaps there are areas of your life that you're struggling with, and actually you just need to be honest and say, this is how I feel, and get below the masks. Because this will happen. There's another bit in 1 Samuel 23 later on, and it says, and Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. Helped him find strength in God. There's that sacred again, isn't there, that it wasn't just Jonathan strengthening David. It was this holy connection that God was somehow inhabiting this friendship, and he helped him find strength in God. I've said a lot, and I'm going to stop, and I'm going to give space for a little bit of quiet now, just to reflect, and then I'm going to pray. So I'm going to invite you to think about any of those questions, anything that's challenged you from this today, any friends that come to your mind. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for community and for friendship, for your church that is called to be a community of love, where we support one another and carry one another's burdens and share life together. We recognize today, Lord, that friendship is a difficult area for many people, that we do sometimes find it difficult to connect. And for anyone here today that's struggling with connection, we come before you, Lord, and we ask for you to, the Bible says you set the lonely in families, and we pray for deep connection for each one of us. And Lord, I'm sure many people have thought of people, friends this morning that have come to mind for them out of this. And we do pray for the courage to be real with our friends, to strengthen one another in you, to walk the journey together and carry one another's burdens. Where we feel challenged to greater commitment, Lord, would you help us take steps towards that, not just to feel challenged, but actually to make a difference, make a change in our lives. And may we see one another as a means of grace through which you shape and change our lives. And then just reminded I was reminded at the start of the service of a part in the Gospels where Jesus says to his disciples, "No longer do I call you slaves, because a slave does not know his father's business," or servants, it might say. "I call you friends." And there's an invitation to be a friend of God this morning. You are not a servant, you are not a slave, but you are called to be a friend of God, someone who knows God's business. And if you feel challenged about that, I'd love to speak to you afterwards. So, Lord, we worship you as friend this morning. Lord and friend. Amen. Amen. And we're going to move into a time of worship to close our service.